It's time for Deputy Leader Fletcher Tabateau from the New Zealand First Party.
It certainly is that time. Lillian spoke with Fletcher Tabateau and they talked about gun reform and what is happening at Ihumato right now. And Lillian started by asking what he's been up to recently.
The biggest thing for me was last week was Youth Parliament. And so I think just about every MP had a youth parliamentarian represent them. And so I came down for the week, even though it was a recess, to support the process and had a wonderful time, you know, engaging with the youth and supporting my youth MP and her work. And so it was really cool, lovely to be in Parliament and watch these youth MPs shine, really.
And so what is sort of youth parliament? Is that, are they people that are kind of wanting to get into politics and then they sort of have this opportunity? What happens after that?
Well, it's quite cool because when did we start the process? Earlier this year, it might have even been last year, that we kind of put out feelers for youth in our community who are interested. So I usually engage with the local high schools and, you know, ask the principals and the teachers who's out there and who's interested. So you kind of go through a selection process and, you know, for those people who are actually interested in Parliament and the idea of politics. But what's also cool is they had, I think it was 25 students who were also interested in media. So they came down and kind of reported the Youth Parliament Week. And it's all about experiencing kind of a week in the life of, so there's general debates, there's question time, there's questioning of ministers. I think the Prime Minister even went down to the House to be questioned by the youth, and then all of the work around that, around what is a party caucus, you know, how does that function, and what's the role of a politician. So, yeah, really illuminating. An amazing experience, really.
I do want to just talk about the gun reform, gun law reform announcements this week. So earlier this year, or immediately after the Christchurch terror attacks, pretty much the government focused on banning the specific weapons which are now considered too dangerous, basically.
Essentially the semi-automatic military style.
Right, weapons. So sort of unnecessary.
overly powerful.
Yes.
What do you need this for, even if you're a hunter? Although there were carve-outs for collectives of farmers, for example, who could apply for licences to use them for pest control on farms and things like that. So, you know, there are those kind of carve-outs, but it's now almost impossible to own those, extreme weapons.
That was the focus then, and now the focus is actually on people, right? So the idea of how you go about accessing any sort of guns and implementing a gun register. So what would a register look like?
Yeah, good question. I mean, apparently, it's quite similar to the motor vehicles register operated by the Transport Authority. So it's basically their name, date of birth, address, you know, all those things that we would keep on record. And then it has a function of recording all transfers, sales, purchases, imports, exports of firearms, so that, as Minister Nash said in the House yesterday, there's you can quite quickly see through the register if, people are accumulating weapons or, you know, those kind of things. But bear in mind, these people haven't done anything wrong. It's just having a better measure and an understanding of what's out there, making sure that the right people have them and are storing them properly. And we believe that a register will be a good part of, you know, helping to solve that, because, illegal guns that are out there, well, 11% of them are, we think, are in gangs' hands, and there's some quite hard laws on gangs and, you know, possession of weapons and firearms. But, you know, if we can do this properly, then we cut down gangs' access to weapons as well.
One of the ways I've seen it be talked about is that it will now be treated as a privilege. It's the idea that this is a responsibility. You have obligations if you are to be a carrier of these weapons, that sort of thing. And it will be much more strict in the criteria in terms of how you access that privilege. So some people are saying that this is happening very quickly. Some people might say that it's too much, you know, but actually also the Police Association has said that a register is long overdue, right? They've been asking for this for a long time. So
there used to be a register. It kind of faded away. So I'm not sure the history to that, but
right.
Actually, Minister Nash used an example of a policeman who was shot and his friend saying, well, we used to have to register guns back in the day when we were kids. So, you know, I'm not sure what's happened here. So,
Right. Yeah,
it is long overdue. And it is, there is a whole lot of rules that are being tightened up, you know, in terms of what are the questions we're asking, how can the police intervene. We're going to do it every 5 years in terms of license renewal, these kind of things. So, yeah.
And that's and going back to the criteria, right, so this idea that there will be stricter criteria for those who can access this privilege, how is it that you are going to define that criteria?
That's part of what it is we're trying to do. And so a stronger police system for vetting, so it'll be harder to access. Knowledge and skills, not only about the weapons themselves, but safe use and storage, behaviour, convictions, violence, gang activity, misuse of drugs, firearms offences, all of these are going to be, ramped up in terms of how they'll affect access to weapons, yeah.
And one of them too was that people who espouse violent views on social media, it will be harder for them to access it. So how is that going to be monitored?
Yeah, good question. I mean, I think the reality of that will have to be brought to police attention. My understanding is that police will try and keep an eye out for that kind of thing. But really and truly, if people see this kind of thing and they believe these people have access to weapons, then, yeah, that's kind of civil duty. Let the police know.
I am going to have to wrap it up soon, but I wanted to get your take on what is happening at Ihumātau at the moment. Do you know about that?
Not directly, but, I mean, I know some people, you know, have made claims on the land and they've fought really hard, but being turned down by the Māori Land Court, the Environment Court and the United Nations. So it was nice to see Kaumātua there go down and try and work it through for, you know, a peaceful resolution.
But there is that disputed aspect of who actually should be representing that land in terms of mana whenua.
Yeah, well, my understanding is it wasn't just one Kaumātua, it was three from Kawarua Maki to Akitai Waiohua and Tainui. They all went down and, you know, tried to have those conversations, and I understand a couple of people left the land in response to that, and then they're just trying to work through the rest of it.
In terms of the wider sort of implication or the wider conversation that the Soul group, I believe, is trying to have, in the sense that they're looking at this with a very, very long historical lens, and that the injustice occurred and has never been resolved. What is this? I mean, people are saying, some people, like you say, there is that conflict. Some people are saying this is like Bastion Point, and others are saying this is not like Bastion Point. But it still stands that it is Māori land that continues to sort of be used for the greater good. I think people have been using that term in the sense that, you know, Fletcher is now going to use this land to build housing, right? So it becomes this issue of, oh, let's make sure that everybody gets housing, but to the expense of a group of people who are trying to maintain their relationship with their land. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, but if three courts tell you it's not your land, and one of them is the United Nations and the other is the Environment Court and the High Court of New Zealand, then, you know, how long has this been going on? 4-6 years or something?
But if you look at it in those lens, it's going on for 6 years, but if you look at it in the historical colonial lens, right, this is, I mean, those courts, are they, do they have the, this is what they're saying, right, is that they, these courts aren't necessarily the, have the jurisdiction to say that this is their land?
Well, I would say they do. I mean, that's what our court system is for. And, you know, what's next? That's access to all of those legal systems is vital for our society to function. So that's what was decided.
That was Deputy Leader Fletcher Tabateau from the New Zealand First Party.